Small Biz.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Joining us on this segment is Rob McNeely. He's an experienced serial entrepreneur who gained his MBA from Colorado State University. Rob is also the co-founder of Original Crypto Coin, otherwise known as OCC, which recently did the largest no-strings-attached free airdrop in cryptocurrency history. Joining us on the line from Salt Lake City is Rob McNeely. Rob, welcome back to the Small Biz Brain.
Hey, David. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you, and thanks for doing this. We've done a few segments on crypto. However, yours will be unique because you are actually the founder of a company that is producing or faucetizing, if there is such a word, crypto. And I'm new to this world, so I'm going to ask a lot of the dumb questions that my listeners probably would ask as well. So
everybody is new to this world. It's a brand new tech. So in fact, the rules aren't even figured out yet. So
yeah.
I think we're all learning.
Well, good. I really appreciate that. And I know that the thrust of OCC is really an educational, I guess it's hybrid, right? Why did you create OCC? Let me just ask the most open question I can.
Well, originally, you know, I wasn't really interested in crypto up until about a year and a half ago. And I started to learn about it. And I was kind of skeptical about cryptocurrencies. And then last year, my wife and I started investing in cryptocurrencies. And so once we started doing our own diligence and trying to learn about what would make a good investment in cryptocurrencies, we started finding all the different hypes and scams. And what my wife and I thought were blatant Ponzi schemes, many of which have turned out to be blatant Ponzi schemes. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what was the genesis for Original Crypto Coin. And once we had that idea, we said, well, how about we create our own token to learn about launching ICOs and learning about what it takes to launch a token. And what we did is we created our own token, and we didn't sell them. We did not do an initial coin offering. We actually gave them all away for free. And we actually gave 56 billion of our tokens away to people all around the world. And why we did that is we wanted to have a token that people could trade freely with one another, really, really free or cheaply. And that's part of the educational process, because we actually believe in crypto. My wife and I and the rest of the co-founder team of OCC, we actually want to expand people's use and knowledge of cryptocurrencies. So we said, hey, let's just get a coin out there. Let's teach people how to use coins.
Love it.
And this kind of started getting legs. And so we did this no strings attached airdrop where we didn't even have people register. We didn't take and build a marketing database. We didn't even collect email addresses. We don't even know who people are for the most part.
Yeah. Very intentionally, though, right? I mean, this was part of this is baked in your model.
It was very intentional, and two, there's some regulatory stuff. So what the government is really cracking down on people releasing securities, right, unlicensed or unregulated securities. Mm. And one of the things about securities are, you know, whether there's an investment of money in it. And since we didn't take any money, that is one of the things that you have to do to make an investment or to become a security. And so we didn't want to be a regulated security. We wanted to just be a commodity, just a digital thing like a piece of a Bitcoin.
Right.
Or something like that.
And then
what happened, and this thing's been growing since we put these tokens out there, some developers have come out and they're going to start wanting to use our token in their applications. And to us, that actually fulfills our mission, is to get people to use cryptocurrencies. And we made a lot of them. Our initial currency supply was 100 billion tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And we deliberately made a lot of them because we wanted them to stay cheap. And one of the reasons is that a lot of people that use cryptocurrencies are in developing nations. And so, you know, what might not be a lot of money to an American or someone from Britain or Australia could be a lot from someone like, say, from Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think cryptocurrencies are actually more fundamentally changing to developing nations than I think Western nations, at least in the beginning. So we wanted to keep the supply very liquid so the price would be very low if they did start getting traded.
Okay, so is the idea or the hope, I'll say, amidst the educational impact of all of this, that a secondary market where actual currency is paid for the OCC, in other words, it begins to have perceived and then actual secondary market value, is that the idea?
Well, the secondary market occurred on its own before we even had completed the airdrop.
Wow.
So, and that's, you know, we got people excited. The whole point of when you give out 56 billion tokens, thousands and thousands of people receive them.
Yeah.
They talk about them. And, yeah. You know, that's how secondary markets were created. We didn't even initially put it anywhere. It just, some people started trading on some of these decentralized exchanges and it started growing.
Oh, interesting. So it was a naturally occurring social phenomenon, I'll call it.
It absolutely is. And the thing is, people want to believe in a project. And so for us, what we see as one of the failings of so many of these cryptocurrency projects out there is no one's actually using them for anything.
Mm. There's no utility.
There's no utility value for most projects. So we said, hey, let's actually make a token and let's drive that use case. So
yeah, we supply.
You know, because to me, cryptocurrencies are not actually going to take off until, you know, Joe the plumber down the street actually can use it and wants to use it. Right now, cryptocurrencies actually create more work for people. It's actually harder to use a cryptocurrency than it is a dollar or a debit card. And for the cryptocurrencies to really grow and expand, it needs to be easy and it needs to be useful. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to create a token that actually had use. And so we are actually working with a group of developers that are all doing their own separate projects that will use our token as some form of payment within their own ecosystem that is separate from OCC. OCC is a low profit LLC based in, or L3C, which is based in Utah, which is it's a hybrid for-profit, low-profit model. There's only like 7 states that even have a low-profit LLC. That way we can make a little bit of money to grow the operation of promoting the token, but the mission has to be either charitable or educational.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to stop you. I was going to interject a question.
Oh, go for it.
Is there a path to revenue for the low-profit? Understanding it's a low-profit LLC, but is there can you see right now through to revenue coming in, or is that not even a something you're occupied with yet?
Well, with the low profit LLC, you can make profit, certainly, but you just have the focus of the business is what's, you know, which is narrowed by that low profit. But what we're going to be doing, and one of our missions in our white paper is stated, is we're going to be promoting educational events and probably putting on some conferences.
So that becomes a source of revenue for you as a company.
Correct.
The educational side. That's so interesting.
Correct.
Yeah.
And on another note, I set up a complete separate LLC, which is a software company called Aboki.
Oh.
And I'm working on some cool game projects outside of OCC that will incorporate the OCC tokens in them as well.
Yeah. So. And I think I heard you say when we were talking about this before the interview rolled a couple days ago on the phone that you think of these almost like Chuck E. Cheese tokens in a sense, because they're floating around. So call it an app to apps ecosystem or whatever. So people can design games, they can design apps, and these can be rewards. They can buy in-app purchases. Am I tracking correctly?
You are absolutely tracking. And really, I think that there will be brick and mortar use for cryptos and maybe even OCC tokens at some point. I mean, I have big grand vision things if certain things fall into line over the next year or two. But really, when it comes to digital currencies and getting implementation, the lower hanging fruit is online purchases because you're already digital. You're already out there with those tokens. And it's really, you just need to find places for people to spend them and places for people to get them. So we kind of started pushing the boulder down the mountain. You have to get a little push.
Yeah.
That's where we did our airdrop, where we actually distributed and we widely distributed them. I think we have over 5,000 wallet holders right now, and that's growing. So, and from at least the web traffic analytics, about 3/4 of people hitting the airdrop came from Asia. So only 25%.
Wow.
Yeah. And half from Indonesia, of all places. So apparently we're big in Asia. it's fascinating. So, I mean, the great thing is it's like for me with a background in marketing, it's really interesting demographically, just even interacting with our socials. Like we have lots of people are getting really excited about the token. And so people coming into our Telegram channel and our Twitter followers, they're from all over the planet. It's not just dealing with an American market. It's a global thing. And that's been a lot of fun.
Well,
this project is,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying this has been so much fun from a marketing standpoint, and just kind of conceiving this. I mean, we have really great velocity. There's six of us that co-founded this project. And the genesis for this idea began on New Year's Day. We were having dinner with some friends New Year's Day evening and came up with the idea. A week later, we put a team together, invited some people to come on and play.
Love it.
And then we literally programmed, developed the token, developed the website, promoted, did the tremendous airdrop. The airdrop we figured would take 6 weeks. It completed in three. Had a schedule. More developers are coming in now. We just got a gentleman who is this German gentleman, works at a supercomputer lab in Germany, wants to do some app building with this. So this is really kind of getting some legs now, and it's really just been tremendous. We have some big news announcements coming out in the next couple weeks. We got word today. I can't say what they are yet, but on our socials, we'll be releasing that here probably this week around the exchange realm. All I can say is this has just taken, you know, I thought this would just be kind of a fun project at first, but it's turning into something that's looking very sincere, like it's going
to
grow.
Rob, did you have to build your own wallet for this, or how does that work?
So we actually, we did not build our own wallet, but we are... We have basically adopted the Trust Wallet. They were one of the early believers in us. And so some of the developers of the Trust Wallet really liked OCC and what we wanted to do. And so they included and supported OCC natively into their wallet. They were the first to incorporate OCC as like a native. So,
nice.
So we are an ERC-20 compatible token, and what that means is that we've built our token on an existing blockchain called Ethereum.
Right.
Yeah, and so there's lots of these digital wallets that are compliant with ERC-20 tokens. And so we built our token to be compliant with several wallets, but they still, with a wallet, they could either natively have your ticker symbol, which ours is OCC, mm-hmm. and it just makes it easier to accept the tokens because it's automatically they show up. And since Trust has been a really big supporter of OCC, they adopted us, I guess, really quickly. So we are natively supported in the Trust Wallet, and then my Ether wallet also natively supports us as well. So those are the two wallets that we recommend. There's some other ones that we have a bunch of tutorials at originalcryptocoin.com that talk all about how to use and incorporate our tokens in different wallets.
Okay, excellent. In terms of the sort of what I'll call the trading side of the equation. Now, since the airdrop is complete and you have successfully distributed 56 billion of these, I know there's more behind that, but that's the allocation for this airdrop. The only way to obtain them is from another holder of the coin. Is that correct?
Yes. And so it's direct. If you know somebody that has some, they can give them to you. Like I said earlier, we were being traded on decentralized exchanges before the airdrop completed. So Fork Delta is the first exchange, and it's a decentralized exchange, and they can be purchased there from other people. It's not from us.
What is it called again? Give that name.
Fork Delta.
Fort Delta.
Fork, F-O-R-K.
Got it.
Like
F-O-R-K, Delta, like the airline. Okay, cool.
Yes, and that's a decentralized exchange. I can say that we'll be having some more exchanges coming online soon, and we'll have some announcements about that. We just got word that we just got on two exchanges, but we don't have any details on when we're going to be integrated. So, and those will be centralized exchanges, and that'll be kind of a big deal for us because it'll make it a lot easier for people to get the tokens, and they'll be cheap. They're not worth that much. I mean, they're like eight digits out to the right of the decimal, but they are being traded, and we have a strong Telegram group and a really strong Twitter following already that are getting people are just real excited about the project. And the main thing is, there's so much scam and hype and Ponzi stuff out there that we're just direct. We say, hey, we have an enrolled agent tax accountant as co-founder. We have a investment advisor. We have some programmers. We have a really, really great team of people that are really talented that are all contributing. We just picked up today, as a matter of fact, we just got a full-time, well, she's going to be for part-time, but we got a professional blogger coming in now to help develop more educational content. And I was working with a potential venue for our first conference, which we're looking to do in Salt Lake in the fall or maybe early winter.
Beautiful.
So we're taking the educational mission very solidly and very seriously about OCC, because there's just so much misinformation out there. My background is I have a lot of background, doing early stage investing and working with startups, and that's how you and I have met 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And so to me, it's like there's a lot of stuff that we can help teach people to, to avoid the scams and what to look for when they're trying to evaluate if they're going to invest in tokens. The red flags, because there's a lot of red flags out there and people are missing them, and they're losing their money, their investments, their savings, and getting scammed on these projects. And we feel at OCC is we don't want to see crypto hurt by the scammers. Because right. I think the technology is amazing, and I think in the future, cryptocurrency technology and blockchain technology are fundamentally going to change the world, much like the internet did.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer of that as well. By the way, your website is originalcryptocoin.com, just like it sounds. Very comprehensive. Knowledge base, FAQs, there's a glossary of terms, even some information about the tax treatment, and it's not terribly deep at this moment from what I understand, but there is stuff to know about how these quote assets or coins or whatever are treated from a tax perspective.
Well, what's interesting is that the regulatory framework, and I mentioned that earlier, is that this is a moving target. Literally a right. week and a half ago, there's like lawsuits coming down. And basically, cryptocurrencies, we're just starting a framework. Cryptocurrencies in the United States, and I speak from an American perspective, but the government sees cryptocurrencies in two camps now, and they're regulated by four bodies, I think. But they're either a security or they're a commodity, and they're taxed and treated differently depending on what they are, and they're regulated differently depending on which camp they fall in. Now, the weird thing is it's really hard to know what's there between a commodity and a security, and when it comes to cryptocurrencies, it's how it was basically brought into market. So if a crypto they just had, lawsuit rulings like a week and a half ago on some of this stuff. So, like, it's hard to even get the content written in a timely manner. Because
you're chasing the needle. Yeah, exactly.
It really is. But basically, it looks like most of the ICOs done in the United States last year are actually going to be illegal securities. And the fact is not one of them registered with the federal government or the state government. So I think a lot of those ICOs from last year are actually going to be toxic. I don't think anybody's going to want to deal with them. Because if the government says you are a security and the company released a security, an unregulated security.
Yeah.
I see in the future how some of this is going to play out. Is what happened is if you're selling, you're selling a token and hoping that it goes up in value, you are basically a security. And you have to follow securities laws if you're going to do that. And to me, unfortunately, there was hundreds of these things that were these ICOs. They raised lots of money. And some of the projects are legitimate. But if you're, say you're like an exchange, right? Say you want to buy these tokens or you hold a bunch of these tokens, you want to sell them. You're not going to be allowed in the United States to transact that unregulated security if you're an American exchange, because you can't deal in unregulated securities. So I think there's going to be some reckonings with some of those ICOs from last year. And I think that's why we worked really hard to keep ourselves outside the security realm. And so that's why we did not charge anything. We did not take an investment of money for our product. There's a test called the Howey test, which is what the Supreme Court ruled on back in the 40s. There's four elements of this test, and that's kind of the litmus test on how the government determines what a security is or isn't. And one of it, the number one thing is an investment of money. Is it an investment? Two, I think the second point is Is there an expectation of a return on that investment? And that goes into how was the coin or token, in this case, marketed? So if you're taking money from people and then you're telling people, yeah, this is an investment, it's a good opportunity, it's going to go up in value, well, you just hit 2 points of the Howey test. And the third one is that the value goes up from the actions of a third party, and then your money is combined with other people's in a common enterprise. Those are the 4 points of the Howey test. And we deliberately didn't meet two of them. We said, hey, I don't want to be a security. I want people to be able to trade our tokens because they are Chuck E. Cheese tokens. And then when people bought them, we said, hey, or not bought them, but when they downloaded them, we said, hey, this is not an investment. This will never go up in value. This is just something we're giving out so people can basically practice trading crypto coins and cryptocurrency. So, I mean, if you want to buy a Bitcoin, that sounds great. But Bitcoins are today is around $7,000. Well, if you want to learn how to move cryptocurrencies from one digital wallet to another, you're not going to do it with Bitcoin for so much because, I mean, people want to have the whole of something. And people don't have $7,000 to buy cryptocurrency just to practice trading going between wallets and things. Whereas, you know, you can pick up millions of our cryptocurrency tokens for, you know, $20 or $10, depending on who you get them from. And so now you can practice, you know, teaching grandma how to use, you know, a digital wallet and, you know, move a cryptocurrency around and things like that. And the next phase is after we start doing these workshops and conferences and educational events, you know, we'll probably at some point the next few months, we'll have actually there will be applications out there using our cryptocurrencies in games and in another for in-app purchases. And that's going to be really interesting to see what happens at that point. I'm just real excited. I mean,
it's clear that there's a lot of energy and excitement. You've got a great team. We're going to continue to follow your story on Small Biz America. Of course, Rob McNeely, founder and CEO. I don't know. Are you the CEO?
I'm just going by co-founder. There's six of us, and we don't really have a hierarchy.
Yeah, there's no hierarchy. So you're the one of the founders or the founder of Original Crypto Coin. OCC, as it's called, the website originalcryptocoin.com for those listening. Lots of information there. And of course, you can connect with Rob through the website. We will do another one because I know this is a developing story. So thanks so much for joining us, Rob. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been fun.
Small Biz America.